For a couple of weeks, I spent time in Illinois. Had the opportunity to spend time with my children, grandchildren. And as per usual, we seemingly always discuss religious matters and things of that nature. And we were sitting around the living room of, I think, Valerie's home. I don't remember if it was Valerie's or Ray's, one or the other. I think it's probably Valerie's, though. And we were discussing different things, and Stephanie, my youngest daughter, expressed her concern about her children being faithful Christians. They range from 9 to 3. And she's concerned about that. Because Matthew 7 and verses 13 and 14 indicate that there are only going to be a few who find their way to heaven. And first I responded, I've been there. The truth, though, is I'm still there. And for as long as life exists for me, that will be the case. And for every parent who is concerned about the eternal destiny of their children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, as it may be. The truth of the matter there are no guarantees. There are no guarantees. The proverb writer, as best can be guaranteed, is found in Proverbs 26 or 22 and verse 6. Train up a child in the way he shall go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's as close to a guarantee as God ever gave us. Why? Because he gave every one of us free choice. He gave our children free choice. And eventually they will get to an age where they won't be asking mom and dad's permission to do the things they want to do any longer. And they'll be making their choices for themselves. And I think it's wise to be concerned. And to be concerned while they're little. Because while they're little, they can be trained. So often we think that we can raise our child however they may be, letting them do whatever they want, and then when they get to be teenagers, we think we can change them, or we're going to send them to a school, or when they get to college, we're going to send them to a school, and college or this or that is going to change. I'm sorry. Life just doesn't work that way. You want a child to do what's right and to grow up doing what's right. You've got to begin when they're small. And isn't that really what God is saying to the children of Israel before he's bringing them into the promised land? That's exactly what he's instructing them in. In Deuteronomy 6, and beginning at verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them." Somewhat to your children? No. "You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and you shall talk to them," or talk of them, "when you shall sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." This is to be a continual practice daily. It's not just once in a while, and not just once every once in a while. And it's not the idea that, well, we'll let the church do it. You know, they have the responsibility of teaching. And certainly the church does, but that is not the primary responsibility for them to instruct my children in the right way. Excuse me. It is my responsibility as a father, as a parent, to instruct my children in what is right and what is good. That's what Paul's saying in Ephesians 6 in verse 4. But I would have you to back up even here in Deuteronomy and notice with me, first of all, what he says back in chapter 4. Back in chapter 4, notice verses 9 and 10. This isn't the first time in Matthew, or chapter 6 isn't the first time when God is instructing them to teach their children. Notice there, verse 9, only give heed to yourself and to keep your soul diligently. Now, he's warning them about personal observation of themselves and making sure that they are being faithful, so that you do not forget the things which your eyes have seen and they do not depart from your heart all the days of your life, but make them known to your sons and to your grandsons. Look verse 10. Remember the day you stood before the Lord, your God at Horeb, when the Lord said to me, assemble the people to me that I may let them hear my words so they may learn to fear me all the days they live on the earth and that they may teach their children. God was concerned that the children of Israel not only remember all that he did, but they were to instruct their children in all of those things and to remind them continually down to grandchildren and maybe even great-grandchildren when the opportunity exists. When you look at the book of Judges, two times in that book, just in a generation or two after Moses and or after Joshua, it says, and everyone did what was right in their own eyes, for there was no king in Israel. Why? Because they stopped doing what God commanded them to do in Deuteronomy 4 and Deuteronomy 6. We must diligently, that idea of diligent, the word diligent means to do it with exerted effort. I'm to exert effort in instructing my children in the right ways of the Lord, so that they will know them as I know them. Notice again in Deuteronomy 6, notice what he says there in verse 7, you shall teach them diligently to your sons, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house. One of the greatest things that I find is being able to discuss religious matters and the Bible and the Word of God with my children in my house. And when you walk by the way, as you're traveling about the daily things of life, and when you lie down at night, and when you rise up, your life is to be consumed with instructing your children. There should be things going on all of the time within your life that you are instructing them in the right ways of the Lord. I remember we were sitting watching a TV program, and somebody used a foul word, and the first thing that came out of my mouth was quite inappropriate, wasn't it? My grandchildren are sitting there. And yes, they responded, yes, Grandpa, that's right. We need to point those kind of things out. We need to be careful about those kind of things. We're to bind, he says, bind them as signs on your hand. They are to be as frontals on your forehead. They are to be a part of your life. And I know that my youngest daughter is instructing in her children in the right ways of the Lord. I've been there when they were doing it. I know that every night they have some Bible study before bedtime. They have prayers before bedtime. I know they do those things. But they're still concerned, because Matthew 7 13 and 14 clearly indicate only a few. And I remember my older daughter, Valerie, 4 or 5 years ago, making a comment. There were some things going on within my family, our extended family, and some cousins and some nephews and nieces that were not being faithful to the Lord, who were Christians, were not being faithful to the Lord. And her comment to me was, which of us is not going to be faithful to the Lord? Referring to herself and her siblings. I said, I don't know. I don't know. You see, everybody has free choice. That's the way God designed it, because God wants those who choose to serve Him, choose to obey Him. God wants His people taught. We need to teach our children about God. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2, that's how the gospel is to be propagated. There Paul says, and the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, excuse me, these entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. We must instruct our children. We have the greatest opportunity to instruct our children in the right ways of the Lord, and to expect our children to be taught these things. God expects that of us as parents. Commands the children of Israel to teach their children there in Deuteronomy 6. In Ephesians 4 and verse, or sorry, in Ephesians 6 and verse 4, the apostle Paul says, and fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. We need to spend time studying with them. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing, or handling aright the word of God, handling God's word correctly. I remember when my son said to me, Dad, I think you didn't tell us the truth about instrumental music and those kind of things. I think you held something back from us. That's scary. In fact, I'll tell you that terror went through me when he made that statement. But you know, I also at the same time realized that he was probably being prodded with the same things that I'd been prodded with back in my teen years and in my 20s. Well, you've just done those things because that's what you've always done. That's what your parents did, and so you only do it because of that. And there certainly was a time when that was the case. But when I started being prodded with those questions, it was no longer the case, because then I found it necessary to study it and examine it carefully for myself. In fact, we need to remember that in 1 John 4 and verse 1, we are told by the Apostle John that we are to try the spirits, aren't we? We're to examine the things very closely. We're to make sure that what we are being taught and what we are doing is what God has in fact instructed us to do. Notice there with me. In 1 John, the fourth chapter, 1 John 4 and verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come into the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus has not come from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming, and now it is already in the world. And so I didn't get excited or upset with my son because he questioned what I had taught him. We should never be upset with our children for questioning what they've been taught. We need to do exactly what I told my son. Examine it for yourself. You read those passages. You study those passages. You look at them closely. And whatever the Bible tells you to do, you do that. And I'll be okay. Isn't that what we ought to tell our children?
I absolutely believe so. I have no doubt that that's the case. They need to have their own faith. And the only way they can have faith is to study it for themselves. While they're small, while they're young, certainly they're going to believe whatever mom and dad tell them, but there's going to come a time when mom and dad aren't going to be as smart as we thought we were. And our children are not going to think that either.
And we probably aren't.
And maybe they'll learn something that we didn't learn. That's the wonderful thing of being able to study and to talk with my adult children now. Because they're doing their own studying, they're doing their own examining of the Scriptures. And it's interesting to find what they learn and what they see and how they understand certain things. I learned some things from them. And our children need to have the opportunity to examine those things for themselves. We shouldn't make them feel dumb for questioning the things that we do or how we do things or what we practice or teach. In fact, it is our responsibility to give them an opportunity to examine those things and to develop their own faith. Not to send them out into the world as defenseless sheep, but sheep that are prepared to battle for the Lord. Another way that we can do this beyond teaching is to set the example ourselves. What good is it if I say, do as I say and not as I do? It doesn't do any good, does it? Especially small children, they're going to mimic their parents. And all of the time, people are smiling about little things that children do that are just like mom or dad. And it is funny, and it is sweet, and it is tender. But I've seen some little children mimic things that are not sweet and not tender, that are horrible to be coming out of children's mouths. Why? Because they've seen it. They've heard it, and now they're repeating it. In fact, think about it. God has set an example for us that we should follow His example. In John 13 and verse 15, Jesus says, I gave you an example that you should also do as I did to you. Now, He's talking about the example of washing the apostles' feet. But it's not about washing feet, is it? It is about serving others. Jesus is setting the best example of serving others. In fact, His entire life has been built around the very idea of serving others. He didn't leave heaven to serve Himself. He left heaven to serve us. He left heaven so that He could go to a cross and die and shed His blood so that we could be forgiven through that shed blood. A life of service. Jesus has set that example. Peter himself says in 1 Peter 2 and in verse 21, for you have been called for this purpose since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in His steps. I remember a fellow saying, well, that was not, we can't follow in the exact steps of Jesus because we can't die for anybody. That isn't what Peter's even talking about. We can follow in the steps of Jesus' life, the life He lived. And yes, I might at some time have to give my life for a brother or sister or many of them in Christ's name. And I need to be willing to go there because Jesus was willing to go there for me. I can follow in His steps. I can live the life that He lived, a selfless, serving life. And I need to show my children. My children definitely hated winter. Because one of the things that we did was, if it snowed, they knew that they were going to go down the street and they were going to shovel some of the elderly folks'
driveways and walkways for free because it's just the right thing to do. Now, if somebody just wanted to give them money, that was never a problem. But they were never to ask for money. They were to do it willingly. I think that's a good idea. That's a way of teaching them service. If we went to the hospital or if we went to the nursing home, they went with us. Because one of these days, somebody else is going to be there that you care about. Or you are going to be there one of these days. And you're going to want somebody to come and see you. Spend time with you in that situation. That's a life of service. And it's demonstrated in the life of the parent, reflected to the life of the child. We need to set the example. In fact, we need to set the example of a faithful Christian for them to imitate. In fact, in Acts 20 and verse 35, Paul says here that he set the example for other Christians. His life was to be an example for other Christians. Elders in 1 Peter 5 and verse 3 are to be examples to the congregation. We ought to be able to look to them and to observe their life and to see the kind of life we ought to be living. As they serve Christ, we ought to be serving Him in the same way. Again, look at Deuteronomy 6 and verses 4 through 9. How can one go about his daily life and not be an example for his children? Not possible, is it? You're setting some kind of an example for them. Another thing that I think that we can do in teaching and instructing our children is to show them how to repent. Repentance is something that can be learned. It can be taught. Children, as we've already indicated, learn by seeing. As we do, they see that and they want to repeat that. They need to know what repentance is, what it's involved in repentance. What better way than to see someone repent? And let me just be frankly honest with you. If you're a parent, you're going to make a mistake. You're going to make many mistakes as parents. And there are going to be times when you're going to have to come to your children, or let me just say it this way. You're going to need to go to your children and you're going to need to apologize them or tell them you're sorry for what you have done because you acted hastily or whatever it may have been. But you need to correct that with them. It's kind of humbling for an adult to be saying that to a child, but if I've acted in a way that was unbecoming of an adult toward my children, then I need to repent of that. I need to correct that with them. And then pray with them because of this. This will help them to be able to say they're sorry when they need to. And when they make mistakes, they need to apologize. They need to correct that. You need to encourage them in doing those things. And lastly, we need to be praying parents. We need to be praying parents. We need to pray for them. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17 that we're to pray without ceasing. In 2 Thessalonians 1 and verses 11 and 12, he says, "To this end also we pray for you always, that our God may count you worthy of your calling and fulfill every desire for goodness and the work of faith with power, in order that the name of the Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in Him according to the grace of our God and our Lord Jesus Christ." We need to pray for our children. We need to pray for them to listen. We need for them to pray for them to be faithful. We need to pray for them to be loving and caring. And we need to pray with them. We need to pray with them when we get up in the morning. The best way to start the day is with prayer to God, talking with the Lord. We need to pray with them when they go to bed. We need to pray with them at lunchtime or at any time
in the day that it may be necessary. I know that from now with Facebook that you get posts all of the time with something that happens, and in the middle of the day you have an opportunity to pray for someone else. Again, an idea of service. Pray with your children. Gather your children around and pray with them for this individual or these individuals. Those kind of things. Make prayer a part of their life. It was not a part of my life as a child growing up. It was something done once in a while. But very seldom. It took a while to learn to pray. Become a kind of praying person. You see, Hosea says in chapter 4 and verse 6 that his people, God's people, are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And because they had rejected knowledge, God says, I will also reject you from being my priest. Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. Our children need to know God. Our society is in decline because we have not been teaching our children to know God. We've been teaching them to know the world, the things of the world, to be concerned about the things of the world. Who cares what the Kardashians are doing? Is it going to make any difference in my life or in anyone else's life what they're doing unless it directly affects us? No, so what's the big deal? Or about any other movie personnel? Does it really matter? No, it doesn't. Does it matter whether we teach our children to know God? It absolutely does. Does it matter whether we teach others to know about God? It absolutely does. The world is in the condition that it's in because not enough people know God and have a relationship with Him. You see, the best thing that I can possibly do for my child or my children is to be a Christian parent. To be a godly individual, living a righteous and holy life. That's the best thing that I can possibly do for my children. And so for you. This morning, you have the opportunity to become a child of God. Jesus Christ left heaven. He came to this earth. He died on the cross. He shed His blood there so that we could be freed from sin, so we could be forgiven of every sin we've ever committed or ever will commit. He did that for us. But He's not going to force us and has not forced us to take advantage of that blessing. What God wants is those who are willing. And this morning, are you willing to obey the gospel? Are you willing to repent of your sins and confess Jesus Christ as Lord and to be immersed in water for the remission of those sins? To walk a faithful life afterwards? Then we would encourage you to do that very thing this morning. Do not delay. You may not have another opportunity. And if you've already done that, maybe you've been failing as a parent. Maybe you've not been setting a good example. Maybe you've not been doing the things you really need to be doing with your children to instruct them in the right ways of the Lord. Today's the day to change that, to repent and to correct that. Maybe it's something else. But if we can assist you in any way of being right with God, won't you come now as we stand and sing?